Welcome back to the Marion County Midday Magazine. Our guest today on Let's Talk Pella is Terry Butler. Terry is a team leader with a group from Vermeer that went to assist in the cleanup efforts in Joplin, Missouri.
Explain a little bit about the crew that went down to Joplin and some of the equipment you took and some of the work that you guys did.
The Vermeer family, the Vermeer Charitable Foundation, sponsors disaster response as part of our mission support department. And when there's a disaster that happens within, a 500-mile radius is our target range, we will typically identify who is heading up the emergency operations center. We contact our dealer, contact some other folks, just to see what are some of the needs, because typically in a disaster, you don't want to just rush in. You need to allow those folks to stabilize the site from search and rescue, be able to get all the electric turned off, the gas turned off, those kinds of things. So we put together a team in response to Joplin after we had talked with some folks down there, and we aligned ourselves with an organization called Samaritan's Purse. And Samaritan's Purse does disaster and international relief. We work with them in Greensburg, Parkersburg, the floods up in Cedar Rapids, and in Haiti. And so our crew was made up of eight individuals, various functions across the facility. They volunteered. We went through, took them through chainsaw training and kind of disaster response overview, what to expect, because there were some first-timers on that team. And then we loaded up an S-800, which is a utility stand-up skid steer that you operate when you're standing up, but it has various attachments that are really quite useful for a disaster response. We didn't take a brush chipper because they didn't need any brush chip this time, but we had all of our other supplies for chainsaw work and mud outs, which is cleaning out or tearing out drywall, and that was the focus of the team.
And I know that in addition to all those cleanup efforts that you guys do, it's more than just that, the work with the Charitable Foundation and the Good Samaritan Purse.
Absolutely. You know, when we go down, it's more about the people than it is about the work. The work is part of it, but what we try to do is to bring a listening ear. You know, part of what we are taught to do is to take the time to visit with the homeowner, to stand back, listen to their story, pray with the individual, try to bring that opportunity for them to express what they've gone through. The more times they do that, the easier it is for them to start processing the loss that they may have had in say, a family member or the material goods. And so that just being there as emotional support is really a big part of what we do in addition to the work.
I know you had a very interesting story about a fellow named Clifford. Was that right?
Yep, Clifford. Clifford was an 80-year-old gentleman and lived by himself about 300 feet from the railroad tracks that goes through Joplin. And he was sitting in his living room in his Easy Boy chair and watching TV, and he started to feel the house shake. He had taken his hearing aids out, and so when he takes them out, he's completely deaf. And he was sitting there, and he started to feel the house shake, and then the power went out, and he was thinking, well, you know, there must be a storm. And then he was thinking, no, there must be a freight train going down the railroad tracks. The room that he was in was the only room in the house that the windows didn't blow in. And he was sitting in the house, and about a half hour later, somebody came knocking on the door. He was still sitting there, and he got up, went to the door, and they asked if he was okay. And he said, yeah, why? And then he stepped outside, and he could see just all of his neighbor's houses, and he just looked for miles to the east, and you could just tell that he had been sitting there and this tornado had gone by, and he looked up at the top and the complete top of his house was gone. Everything in his attic was still sitting there on the top. And then when we got there, you know, we had got a chance to meet Clifford. He'd showed up. He couldn't believe the outpouring of support. There were like 35 or 40 volunteers on the site. And one of the things that he asked, he says, you know, if you have the capability of doing it, he says, I'd like you to save the step that goes into my back door. And we kind of looked at each other and said, well, okay. So we drove around, and then we looked down at the step, and you could see all the handprints in the step and the signatures from his grandkids, and he was a widower, and his wife. And so that was a real emotional moment, you know, picking that step up as carefully as we could and then relocating it to a a little outbuilding that had built there to store some of the salvageable goods that came out of his house.
Even amidst all that destruction, you're still able to help folks save memories.
Oh, absolutely. And that, you know, we found wallets with money in it and credit cards and little artifacts. You know, the wallet with the money and credit cards, that goes to the police. When you find artifacts in the yard, what you do is you place it near the foundation of the house so that when the homeowner comes back, they can see these things and decide whether they want them or not. So there's a whole process we go through when we do that.
Certainly. And what was this site like? As you spoke earlier, you'd been to other sites like Parkersburg and other places around the area. How was this in comparison to some of those previous missions?
Yeah, it was equally as devastating. Greensburg, Kansas was an F5. That took out the entire town. Parkersburg, it took out the southern part of the community. And the devastation is very similar, but in this case, this went right through the middle of Joplin. And so the devastation as far as property loss was, there was 8,000 homes. There was a brand new high school, technical school. There was 153 people lost their lives. There were 700 dogs that are displaced that are at the shelter that haven't been claimed. I mean, it was just a lot to process in the time that we were there.
And as you left town and wrapped up your part of the work there, I have to assume there was just a lot left to be done.
There's a lot. They will be cleaning that area for months. They go through and they separate all the steel. So when you move stuff to the curb, you have to separate the steel from the wood debris, from the C&D, which is like the household debris and furniture and that type of stuff. And so you have to separate all that because it saves time for the people at the landfill. And then everything has to be within 10 feet of the curb. FEMA can't come on the property. So they have a gravel and they pick all this stuff up. So quite often it's you know, at least two times, sometimes three times, you have to go out to the same site to continue to move that pile closer to the street.
So it sounds like a lot of hard work that you guys have done and yet a lot of hard work to do. Are there any sort of final thoughts that you'd like to share with folks, Terry?
Well, you know, the only other thing is think about the fact that it could happen. It could happen in Pella, it could happen anywhere. And so just make sure you got the right insurance. I mean, that was something we heard over and over again. Videotape your contents of your house and your goods and get it to your insurance company. Put a copy in your safety deposit box. Have all your account numbers and stuff in a safe location because you never know, especially with the weather patterns that we've been having lately.
Certainly. And again, Terry, I do thank you so much for your time again this morning. I really do appreciate it.
Well, it's thanks to Vermeer. They're able to help us to provide the time and the resource to be able to go down there and do that.
Again, that was our guest, Terry Butler, on today's Let's Talk Pella. Today's Let's Talk program is available on demand at KNIAKRLS.com and the Radio Audio Media Player. Stay tuned to the Marion County Midday Magazine for your official Weather Eye Meteorologist forecast on KNIAKRLS.